I feel like somebody else, one more person needs to hear this. There is... I tell y'all this, the power of life and death lies in the... Some of you have accepted, welcomed, and agreed with your demons for too long. Every time you say, my depression, my anxiety, my cancer, my worry, my fear, you're coming into agreement with it. And I came to speak some life into some people here today. No more will you claim. No more do we claim fear, worry, anxiety, depression. It does not belong to you, never belonged to you. God never intended for you to have it. And I speak the blood of Jesus. It is not yours. And neither was the battle that he fought for you when he got up on the cross so that you wouldn't have to have it. The battle's not yours. The Lord said it was mine. And I took care of it over 2,000 years ago on a cross that was on Calvary. No more shall you claim. Come on, let's go to the Word. We've been reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all like my new stand up here? That old one got in the way too much. It was just a hassle to move it the way I had my... Y'all know I couldn't have it in my way. I almost tripped over it 3 times. This one I can pick up and throw if I need to. Sorry, y'all. I'm trying to... With everything that's been going on in Israel, I don't know if you've been watching the news or you read anything. But no longer are we not in the days of Noah. We're in the days of Noah. Jesus said in the end times, during the time of the coming of the Son of Man, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Ukraine, Russia, they're already at war. Now Israel has declared war. The parliament of Iran's chant death to America. If you did not think we were in a battle, we don't fight with guns. We don't fight with ammunition. We don't fight with bombs. But there's some stuff that we got that can do a whole lot more damage and salvation than what the enemy has at his disposal. We've been talking about the armor of God. So we're going to get into it again today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we talked about the belt of truth. This week we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. And I cannot wait. To get into what the Lord has to say. God, I pray today that you would make my words, my lips, your lips, my thoughts, your thoughts. I just simply want to be a vessel that delivers what you need delivered today, God. I want to be the best delivery system I can be, so I pour every bit of myself out, and I say, pour into me, Lord. When people sit here and they look up here and they hear your words today, Lord, don't let them hear me. Let them hear you. Let us all hear you today, God. Pierce our hearts, pierce our minds. We are prepared to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Worship you, yes. We worship you in the spirit. We worship you in the truth. We worship you in the spirit. Yes, Lord, that's what we're gonna do. Into the Holy of Holies. That's where I want to be. Into the Holy of Holies. That's where I want to be.
Hallelujah. So this week has been a stirring week. I knew on Wednesday, after first Wednesday had passed, and I woke up Thursday morning, I knew something was different. I was shaken, but I was excited at the same time. Because there is something happening that is something that you and I have never experienced before. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I love the Lord for allowing me to live in this generation. Because it's crazy and it's wild. But man, God's good. And He created all of us for such a time as this. He brought all of us here together for such a time as this. And so I'm very His word. As I was studying this week, I got into a little prayer moment where I acted a fool, which I normally do at least once or twice throughout the week, as if y'all don't know I act a fool. So whatever. Laura's like, what's that ring? It might be a hearing aid. That's right. Okay, we're good. I was just making sure it wasn't sound system. But yeah, I got you. Y'all, I'm too ADD for that. I'm too ADD. So this week, I went into the other room, and as I was having a little fit, my mustache began to aggravate me. So I went to the bathroom to trim it up. When I got in to trim up, you know, my mustache, my drain was clogged. So I had to go in the other room and get, like, a little, you know, those little yellow things that clean out the drains? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Them little snake things. You just dig down and then just pull it back up. I had to go and get one of those because I don't like it when my drain's clogged up, you know, backing up. Goes down extra slow. Anybody with me? Anybody else hate it? So I thought, I don't want to waste this yellow snake thing on just the sink, the bathroom drain. Yeah, I wanted to use it on the shower drain too. That was gross. I mean, honestly, like, I didn't think about it. I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna clean this thing up. Well, y'all clearly, Laura normally does it, because I was unaware of what I was about to get into. Okay, and I start digging it down in there, and I'm pulling it out. It's all like, ugh. And then the smell hits me. Like, wow. We just bleached this thing. The floor, dog. We cleaned the whole thing. Cleaner put the Clorox down with the bleach on and everything and just cleaned the whole thing. And I'm thinking, how in the world, if you spray Clorox all over the top of this stuff and it runs down the drain, how in the world is it possible for this thing to smell this bad? Anybody been there? Am I by myself here? Because I was like, there is something that the Lord's got to teach me through this. And I was sitting there, and as I began to prepare this message this week, I couldn't help but hear that in my spirit that the Lord was saying, I don't think my people really truly know what righteousness is. I think because, you know, you and I have a hard time sometimes differentiating certain words within the Bible. and the terminologies and what they actually mean, okay? And when I think about the drain, right, I think about the fact that, I don't know about you, but like sometimes I just want to wash stuff down the drain. Just to, I'm like, ugh. It's just down the drain. You know, it's kind of like sweeping things under the rug. I just think about stuff going under the drain. Because, see, here's the thing. When you sweep it under the rug, it's still there. And you'll walk on it and you'll feel it. But if you put it down the drain, you ain't going to see it no more. Hey, you don't see it? You don't smell it? It ain't there? It's dry, just down the drain. But see, here's the thing. When we let stuff go down the drain, clog it up, eventually the water will begin to back up. And it'll make puddles and it won't drain fast. And you're sitting there in a situation where you're like, go. I'm trying to make air bubbles in it. Anybody been there? I mean, that's me. I don't know about y'all, but that's me. And here's the deal. At the end of the day, a lot of us think of righteousness as doing stuff right, but that's righteousness. That's really holiness. Right? Holiness is different from righteousness. And a lot of times I think you and I confuse the two terms, because holiness really has to do with the fact that you and I have to do something about it. In terms of, it's our duty every single day to wash the stuff of the world off of us and to deal with the mess that we have on us from the world we live in, and to clean up our act. Now, some of you need to understand that hair that clogs up the drain, some of us need to deal with those addictions. Some of us need to deal with those bad attitudes. Some of us need to deal with that fleshly side of stuff. Like, we got the addictive side of things that's spiritual, but then we got the fleshly side of stuff where we just let anger just, we get impatient. Right? And that's holiness, cleaning up the stuff of us that we have the decision to make. But then righteousness is totally different. It's not totally different, but it is very much different than what holiness is, which is really like a cleaning up. Righteousness is totally different. And the reason why righteousness is different is because, see, with holiness, you remember when Paul says, we all, like, okay, so y'all know that scripture where it says we all fall short of the glory of God, right? Paul also said where he said that I have a thorn in my side and I pray for God to get rid of it, but he won't. There's that other side of things where Paul's like, I try to do, but I want to do good, but I don't do good, even though I want to do good, and I try to do good because my flesh gets in the way. Right? Our flesh and our fleshly desires, right? That holiness is a pursuit. Oh, man. I can't read my writing. That wasn't even on my notes, though. It's a pursuit of cleaning ourselves up and get rid of it. I got doctor's handwriting like chicken scratch. ADD got me really quick. But righteousness is different. What righteousness is it's what God is. Do you understand? You can never be who God is. You alone cannot ever achieve righteousness. Because that would mean that you'd have to be right all the time. You know what righteousness means? To be right. You and I are incapable as human beings of being right all the time. My wife would argue otherwise. But I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. But it's impossible for you and I to be right. And that's why when we read what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14, it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Which means that you don't have it by yourself. Holiness is about you cleaning yourself up. Righteousness is about making a decision to put God on yourself. That's where it talks about where Paul's like, you need to clothe yourself in Christ. You need to strap yourself up with the righteousness of God, because the thing that's going to protect your organs, protect all the stuff that, you know, like your heart is about blood. Like, take the spiritual side of things, of what your physical actually is, what that represents, what your heart actually represents that pumps the blood through the rest of your body, what your lungs actually represent, that the breath of God is in them, the liver, the kidneys, the things that filter things, the stomach that helps digest stuff, that all of that, it needs to be protected, but you can't protect it yourself. In your own merits, you will never do anything that can achieve that. You have to actually put God on. So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. There's a term here. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, okay? I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. And it says this, but since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. Oh. So Ephesians is not the only place that he talks about a breastplate. Now, what's interesting to me is that the breastplate here is said of faith and love, but in Ephesians, it's the breastplate of righteousness. Now, would you believe this, though? The Greek word's the same thing. It's called thorax. T-H-O-R-A-K-S. Oh, it's so cool. I loved when I saw that, because I was like, okay, well, then I got to dig. I love this. Because, y'all, I got to wait to get there. Wait. I get ahead of myself sometimes because I get so excited. But the word, the actual Greek word, doesn't necessarily mean just righteousness, and it doesn't necessarily mean just faith and love, okay? It's actually, the way the word is written here is faith righteousness, like hyphenated, like faith righteousness. Oh, y'all wait, this is good. This is so good, because I got something to show y'all at the end of all this that I was telling my wife about earlier this week. But I was like, I don't know if I need to wait for this until it's the shield of faith, or if I need to do it with the breastplate of righteousness. And she was like, oh yeah, that kind of works for both. It wasn't until a couple days ago where the Lord was like, yeah, but that word means both. Stop it. You're so good. Okay, so here we go. Thorax, it's this word. Breastplate of faith righteousness, okay? So now that we've got that, faith righteousness, that's actually what the word, because remember, y'all, the Greek words are sometimes very difficult to, we would probably, like, the Bible would be like three times as long as it was probably, like the translation. It gets it the best it can. Remember, it's translations, okay? And so we're sitting here reading this word, okay? Thorax, faith righteousness. All right, I was so drawn this week to Genesis chapter 6. I have been for a while now, but the Lord took me back to Genesis chapter 6, okay? So if you want to talk about someone who lived a righteous life, the first one that comes to mind is Noah. And I know, and you know, we know, we're living in the days of Noah. I don't think that is a question mark anymore. But what actually happened in the days of Noah? Let's get into it for just a minute, because if you understand just how righteous Noah was living in the times he was living in, woo, gives us hope, okay? Let's read this, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says this, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth. And that is terrible. Every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Imagine that. Imagine walking around earth and there wasn't nobody that you looked at that was not having an evil thought at the moment. Imagine walking around with all the people that you see on a daily basis and knowing what nothing but evil going on in their minds. Nothing but evil going on in their hearts. Do you know how hard it would be to live a holy, righteous lifestyle when you're the only one? I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good, because I got a room of people right here that I know ain't all their thoughts evil continually, because they're saved by the grace of God. And even though demons would like to tell you that you ain't good enough, you're not capable enough, you've done too much in your past, it's not possible. I remember when I read my Bible that it tells me that he disarmed. He saved. He came to set the captives free. He came so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I know that's a lie. And we all should know it's a lie, but it's something that is difficult, right? To walk around, to read this story and understand that he was the only one, okay? So let's go on through. Let's read through it really quick. Let me actually, what is verse? That's it. Okay, let's start there. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now before I go any further, let me give you a little understanding. Oh, okay. Spider. Wolf spider. You see him coming for me? Little demon. Get on out of here. In the days of Noah, angels were coming down from heaven and sleeping with the daughters of men. Angels. And they, what they were doing was creating the Nephilim, was actually the way that it's pronunciated more correctly. The Nephilim. Now what that tells me about angels and demons as well is that they have reproductive organs. Because if they did not, how would they have been able to reproduce with humans? So in the days of Noah, demons were reproducing. These angels came down from heaven and they were causing giants to be born into the land. Spirits that hung around afterwards, according to what the word says. It's where David and Goliath came from. Goliath had a Nephilim spirit. Sodom and Gomorrah, the same has been argued, that they were not really necessarily just after the perversion. They were after a desire to recreate and to continue with the DNA of the Nephilim. The spirits remained after the flood. The DNA had disappeared a little bit because of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and what had happened in the flood, but there's nonetheless, these spirits were reproducing. Now, if you are alive right now and you understand the spiritual ramifications of what's happening and you have a little bit of spiritual awareness, you understand that it seems like, feels like, there's more demonic spirits than there ever has been. That's because there are. Spiritually, we have to be aware that the demonic spirits are trying to reproduce. Hey, real quick. Be careful who you sleep with. You don't know who you're sleeping with. You better know. So these spirits are sitting here over and over and over and over and over again, birthing more and more. So that gives you a little bit of background about where he is, and considering those were the days of Noah, you ought to know that right now that's happening as well. You and I are up against more spirits than we probably ever have been, and we need to have the protection we need. You and I need to be prepared for the battle we're facing. And the way that Noah did it, this is so interesting. Let me go read through it. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Then the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I've created from the face of the land, mankind, animals as well, crawling things, the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry I made them. But Noah, hey, there it is, found favor in the eyes of... You can be in the biggest, nastiest, pig pen of people in your workplace, but still find favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Now this is it. This is so good. Noah was a righteous man. All right, how did he accomplish righteousness? A blameless man. Y'all need to be make sure you ain't blamed for a bad attitude. You want to live a righteous life? Make sure you don't get blamed for talking about somebody behind their back and assaulting their character. Make sure you can't be blamed for dividing a church up because you had something to say, said it behind people's backs, sow discord. Make sure you can't be blamed for breaking your spouse's heart. Living a righteous life starts with being blameless. Now, but here's the second part, and this is the key indicator of what righteousness actually is. Noah walked with God. Ooh! See, here's the deal. Go back to the word thrice. Faith righteousness. Abraham, I'm going to get there in a minute, but I'm going to say it anyway. Abraham didn't have a book. He had a relationship. And he believed, boy, that light. This is the Lord saying, yep, listen. Faith righteousness. You can't get to righteousness before you get to faith in that word to put on the breastplate. Where does that start? It starts with a relationship. You can't put something on if you're not in the proximity of it. You can't put on a breastplate if you don't have access to it. And the only way that you have access to righteousness is by walking in faith with God. That means you don't just sit him down all the time. This is a battle that's continuous. Many of us are like, well, let's take this off for a minute. Chill out, God. You're killing me right now. Trying to tell me I need to do this, need to do that. Go there, go here. Quit my job, do a different one. Be nice. Just be kind. I don't feel like being kind. People get on my nerves. The only way that you and I can achieve righteousness is by putting it on. It's something we attach ourselves to. It's not something that we can be by ourselves by cleaning our act up. That's religion. Putting God on means that we make a decision that we wake up every single day. We make a decision to say, God, I will walk with you today, even if it gets hard. I will walk with you today, even if it seems tough. I will walk, even if that car tries to cut me off, flip a bird at me, and yell obscenities at me. I will walk with you even though someone calls me incapable. I will walk with you even though I've heard somebody's trying to stab me behind my back. Because at the end of the day, Lord, I don't care about making them happy. I care about being with you. So we get to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Thank God I have a little fingerprint thing on here. I don't even remember my password. So we go to Genesis chapter 7, and it says this. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me. All right, two things there. Oh. What I learned from that? I ain't even got to be righteous to get to do things that nobody else gets to do. I just got to be around it. Whew! Some of y'all need to check who you're hanging out with. Some of y'all need to make sure that you understand that if you'll just get in the presence of righteousness, my God, you'll get to do things you've never done before. You'll get to go places you've never gone before. You'll get to see things you've never seen before. If you'll just get in the presence of righteousness, you ain't even got to do it all the time. But if you make sure you're hanging around with the right people, if you make sure that you're in the presence of someone who's walking by faith and walking righteously, if you get in the presence of somebody like that, you just need to hold on and latch on to them. Because if you'll see it, hallelujah, if you'll just get around it, it'll do what James chapter 2 says. Okay, let's get there. Let's go there, actually, because I got something really cool there that I want to show you. All right. What use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister who is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, yet you don't give them what's necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. All right, let's go on. We're going to jaywalk to verse 20. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Ha! You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham, listen, y'all, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Woo! And he was called a friend of God. Connection, you see it? Walking together. He had enough faith to believe that God would send rain. He said, okay, yeah, okay. You know what, God? Faithful and true. So I will believe you when you say that you're sending rain and you're destroying the earth. Better than Jonah did. He was like, I'm going to go preach it. Don't want to. And then when God said he healed him, he got mad. I ain't getting there. Time to dig into that mess. Does anybody know what whales eat normally? Yeah, phytoplankton. Plankton. I told my wife that this morning. She was like, what? Why do you know that? I said, I don't know. That's got nothing to do with his message. But she did say, the only thing I'll ever know that whales eats Jonahs. And whales eat some Jonahs, but I don't know. What is wrong with me? I don't know. I don't get it. But see, here's the deal. You need to make sure that you're walking with God. Okay, let's keep going. All right, let's keep going, because this is good. You see that a person is not justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way was Rahab the prostitute not justified by works also when she received the messages and sent them out by another way. A different version says she was credited with righteousness. A prostitute. It's important to clean your life up. It's more important to say yes when God is there. It's more important to get into the presence of God, because the only way that you and I build our faith is by being around other people who have faith. It's being in the presence of miracles. It's being in the presence of God where he's changing lives, where he's breaking chains, where he's delivering people from sin, but delivering people from anxiety, depression, worry, fear, being in the presence of deliverance from all of these demonic spirits that you... Because here's the problem. Most of us, we will say we have faith, but at the end of the day, some of you and I might put on a breastplate of righteousness because we're like, okay, God, I get in your presence. But some of you don't even believe that the breastplate will work. Why put something on if you don't believe it'll work? That's why the word means faith righteousness. Because if you don't have faith, it don't matter if you get in the presence of God. Pastor Jamie, how does this work? How does this work? What do you, okay, so you need to teach me. Teach me. Show me. This is what, okay. I need two guys really quick. Come up here. I need two guys. All right, here we go. Can y'all move that back? I'm going to need more of you, so be ready. Now, Bobby, I want you to stand right here and turn your back towards me. Back towards me. Blake, get on the other side of me. So you may say, how in the world, what do you mean? Like, all right, so remember, the breastplate is protective, right? It's a piece of protective equipment to get from your innermost being, right? Now, when we're early in our faith and we're young in our faith, all right, I think to make this a little bit better, can you come here? Come here real quick. This is going to make it a little bit of a, all right. Bobby, stand to the side real quick. Just right there. You stand right in front of Blake. All right, now you're going to be my protector from Blake. Now, I got the Holy Ghost, right? I got protection because I'm saved now. And I'm putting it on. But see, early in my faith, what will happen is, all right, now, Blake, you come at me. I'm like, Lord, send me protection. All right, now you come at me. All right, you got to protect me. What you doing? Try it again. Try it again. Go back. Try it again. That's what I tell my angels sometimes. What you doing? Go back over there. Try it again. All right, now, Blake, come get me. Come get me. Oh, Lord, just like, yeah, come on. Just overpower him like you can. Yeah. Okay. See, protection, when we're young in our faith, it feels like this. Because our faith is kind of like this. Okay? But then, when we see God do a miracle. Bobby, come here. I need Zach, come here. Up here. No. When we see a miracle happen, though. All right, that's right, here we go. Now the three of y'all get right there. Now all of a sudden, our protection is a little better. So when Blake starts trying to, when that spirit, okay, he represents the spirits that are after us, okay? Now when those spirits, when I start praying because I feel it, okay, start coming. So when I feel that attack coming, now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, yep, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I've been in the presence of God. I've seen him do some stuff. Now, what happens on the flip side is when the enemy sees that happening, he sends more too. Come here. Come on, both of y'all. You guys, you can get ready because y'all come in next, okay? What the enemy does is he starts to send more people too. So now I need, you need, we need for the Holy Spirit to send reinforcements, right? Because now they've realized our faith has shut down that little demon that was trying to get to us before, and we got protection now. And we got help. All right, now y'all start coming at me. So now they come back. Okay. Here we go. All right. But then, all of a sudden, church, because we're like, I got to get in the presence of God. I need to see a miracle. I need to see something happen. And then all of a sudden, our whole church comes down here and we lay hands on somebody with cancer. We laid hands on somebody with cancer, and they came back the next week with a report that it was clean. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, well, if God can heal cancer, Gage, y'all come up here. So I need Shane. I would get you to come up here, but come on, Heath. Let's go. Come on, Gage.
I hope he's on our side.
He's on this side. Y'all back up. Now, all of a sudden, hey. I start coming under attack. You start coming under attack. All right, y'all try to attack. Y'all try to attack. Go ahead. I got people on my side. And then when I see that I got protection, I need a few more men to come up here. Somebody, I want you to come up here. I need a couple more. I need a couple more. Come on, Pops. Jason, come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on. See, when your faith rises and you get into the presence of God, the enemy can send your way whatever he wants to. And once your faith has risen and your relationship becomes so strong with God, y'all go ahead and attack. I can sit here. I can chill out. I can sleep with peace. I can rest. I ain't got to worry about what attack comes my way, because I know that the Holy Ghost has sent a legion of armies to protect me, and they can come at me time and time and time and time again. But I know that my God will protect me, and I can have faith, and I can live a life of righteousness, because I've seen God move. I've seen him do the impossible. I've seen him protect me time and time and time again from the demons that are after me. Won't you give God a shout of praise in the place today? A life of righteousness is a life of faith. It's knowing that if I walk with God and I put him on my, strap me up, ain't nothing that can come against me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. They can try to get through, but there's a wall called salvation. And all of a sudden, I got supernatural strength. It don't make sense. I got supernatural protection. It don't make sense. And everything thrown my way, I got a legion of heaven's angels on my side. Why? Because I'm walking with the one who made them. Well, would you stand with me? Y'all can sit down if you want to. Thank y'all. It's okay, just leave it there. Some of you are here today wondering, how am I going to make it through? Like, how in the world am I going to deal with this mess I'm dealing with that's coming my way? Some of you be like, well, I don't know. Pastor Jamie, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yes, I do. Because the attack that comes my way may not look the same, may not be packaged the same, but nonetheless, it's an attack from the enemy. And I know that the weapons and the protection that I have, you have also. When you plead the blood of Jesus, it's God himself protecting. There is nothing that can come against you that can win. And you guys need to understand that today. As long as you have faith and you walk in that faith every day, what does that mean to walk by faith? You've got to make sure that you do the things. You make a decision to get in the house of the Lord. You make a decision to wake up and pray. You make a decision to pray all throughout your day. Pray, cease, do not cease, pray. You make sure that you read your word. You spend time with the Lord. And if you will, your life will change forever. Because when you have peace because you're protected, oh, come on. Most of us can't accomplish stuff in life because we're tormented by something. We can't accomplish the fullness of what God wants for us to accomplish because we're tormented by something. When in all actuality, all God wants to do is be your protection. To protect you from all of the things that you're going through in your family, all the things that you're dealing with in your job, in your business, in your career. Everything you're dealing with your children or your nieces and nephews or your grandkids. You think God can't deliver? Set free? Come on. You think he can't protect you from the very things he created? Come on. He is waiting on you to call on his name, repent, and say, here I am, Lord. I got to spend time with you. I believe in you. I know you are the one. So God, we come to you this morning and we praise your matchless, righteous name. The only one that is right. And every other is a liar. We come to you this morning and we say, God, move in this church right now. Protect people. Build their faith so that they can be all you've called them to be. God, we love you. We worship your name. We bless your name. And we thank you for the word that has come forth today, for the presence of God being in the room, for you, God. We are thankful for you. Let us grow in our knowledge of you, our understanding of you, but more importantly, in our relationship with you. We love you, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Can you give Jesus one more shout of praise?
Amen, amen. The Bible promises us that we will never have to go through things that we aren't able to bear. The Bible says that with every situation, God will make a way for escape. Today, what Pastor Jamie's talking about is that faith begins that relationship. And every Sunday we're here, we do something. And we're going to do it this Sunday. And I'm going to ask you if you need to begin a relationship with the Lord today. I'm also going to ask you if you need to rededicate your life today. Because maybe you've been doing some things and headed in directions that you shouldn't be heading. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you need to begin a relationship with God, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Amen. Anybody else this morning? If you're here today and you need to come back to the Lord fully and completely, and you want to rededicate your life today, thank you for that hand. Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Amen. Church, would you pray this prayer with me? Let's pray with those who have lifted their hands today. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for coming into my heart fresh and new today. Help me develop my relationship with you. Help me follow you closely. Thank you for your work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, LifeGate, would you give the Lord a hand and thank him for the work that he's done in the lives of people here in this church today? Amen. 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 We're going to have prayer team members down at the altar today as we close, and they will be here to pray for you. If you have something that you need to pray about, something that you just want to come and present to the Lord, maybe you want to just kneel at the altar, maybe you want somebody to pray with you, we have prayer team members here today to continue to pray with you. Let me make a couple of reminders as we get ready to dismiss today. Please don't forget about the Dollywood trip coming up. That's coming up, but the last day to sign up is this Friday. Also, don't forget about Fall Festival. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, and we need a lot of help, so please sign up. We're here for you, and we're here because we're stronger together. Amen. If you want to join a life group, Pastor Jason's right here, and he can get you involved. We need to be together. We need to walk in faith together, and that's what we're here to do. Amen. Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. God bless you. There's people here at the altar if you need to pray.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.